Good morning. How are you? You don't sound convinced yet. Well, I hope that you're feeling good this morning. 2,000 years ago, a handful of men and women who had been taught about the kingdom of heaven were commissioned to go out and change the entire world. Their leader was a young Palestinian Jew who had taken a role as a rabbi and as a teacher, and he'd called men and women to follow him. But not just because it would be nice to be together, that's part of it, but also that God's word might be known all over the world. And not only known, but that what God asked us to do would be practiced. And so this fellow went out and he convinced 12 people that it was up to them to change the world. And from those 12, this message and this faith, this knowledge and love of God has spread all over the world. And you are fellow disciples with him. His words are known on continents all over the world. And his 12 followers accomplished their mission and then passed the torch to us. And today we celebrate that Palestinian Jew who was such a radical. And we too join that radical movement. So as we begin, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for all the ways you bless us. Praise you and thank you that you called us to be a part of what you're doing here in Canmore and around the world. Open our hearts and minds that we might hear from you this morning and experience your love and your power. Help us to truly be your people. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Salt and light. How do you do that? I think all of our readings have a little bit to do with that idea of salt and light. In the Old Testament lesson, Isaiah is proclaiming to the people what God is telling him, that, you know, you're doing all these religious things, but your heart isn't a part of what you're doing. You're doing religious things, but you're not doing the things that I ask you to do. You have a culture that's developed, and it's not living out my purposes. You're not taking care of the poor, for instance. You're not helping the elderly. There's so many things you're not doing that are people-oriented things. And that's what God had to say to the people in Isaiah's time. And then when we get to 1 Corinthians, Paul is saying that too. It's a cultural difference that he's looking at. And he's saying there's a culture out there that lives its life according to the world, and there's a culture out there that can start to learn to live for Christ, live the way Christ calls us to live. You have to make a decision. And perhaps you have to know about it first to just become aware of it. And so then Jesus speaks, and this is a part of this whole great teaching that he does, the Sermon on the Mount. And last week we spoke about the Beatitudes, which are like a Ten Commandments for us to live our lives in a new way, an exciting way, that allows God to be at the center of our hearts and our minds and all that we do. And when you're close to God, it brings joy. Have you noticed that? When you're close to God, when you're in God's presence, you just start to feel this joy that there is, and this peace that there is in being in the presence of God. And that's what the disciples found, you know, and just before the Great Commission, the Great Sermon on the Mount, Jesus calls or starts to call disciples, and then they come and they listen, sitting there at his feet as he teaches them the Beatitudes, and then he starts on this other idea. And he starts talking about light and salt. And in the same way, you and I are called to be disciples of Jesus. You and I are called to do what Jesus is telling them to do when he speaks about salt and light. And that is to transform the world. These things he's talking about, he says, the light changes the world. Salt changes the world. Are you ready to change the world? It's no small job that you're called to. It's just change the whole world. when you think about our culture around us, it seems so monolithic. It seems so dense, so unchangeable. It's like if, I don't know, if there was a huge giant outside and you were told, move that giant along, and you went out and start to push, you'd find that pretty difficult. But this giant can be moved, and it can be moved by the power of God at work in you and at work in me. And that's what Jesus is trying to tell us. And we're called to transform the world, to think of others, and to live counterculturally, to think of strangers and to welcome them, to show kindness to all the people that we meet, even those who are outside our comfort zone, to forgive, even as you are forgiven. Sometimes we want to be forgiven, but sometimes we don't approach the idea of forgiving other people quite so enthusiastically. And I wonder, do you realize that you're called to change the world? To change lives of people here in the Bow Valley? You may think that you're called to be just a quiet member of the Anglican Church, because that's what we're like. You know, we don't get too excited about anything, and we don't get too down about anything. We're just sort of humming along and hoping something good is going to happen. But actually, you know, if you look back at the history of Anglicans, we're actually quite a feisty bunch. We're a bunch of people who did try to change the world for God. And somehow, in our culture, we've just sort of been asked to just be calm. And, you know, you're getting a bit older now, so don't exert yourself too much. But our church is called to an awakening. And think about that headline that was in the Anglican Church newspaper. That newspaper article just doesn't go away for me. And it says, by 2040, if we continue in the present way that we're doing, we'll be a church of no effect. Might as well close the doors and sell the buildings. And we could all go for a trip to Hawaii for 6 weeks and then come back. But really, we're called to change that. And you are the ones, just look around you. Have a little look. Go on. Have a peek. This is the group God has called to change the world. You're it. So here's what we maybe need to talk about. When Jesus spoke these words, he spoke, "You are the salt of the earth." Do you feel that? And then he said, "You, people of St. Michael's Church in Canmore, you are the light of the world." So these are pretty common household things, light and salt. So does that mean you're just common? No, it doesn't. Jesus grew up in a home 2,000 years ago in Nazareth. He probably watched his mom use salt to preserve fish or preserve meat. Sometimes salt was it's used as a preservative. Sometimes it was used to heal wounds. You could put salt in them to purify them. I think it must have stung a little bit. But anyway, it worked then, and it still works today. So he would have grown up with that, and he would also have seen the way it worked. He would also have seen the way light dispels the darkness. So he would have seen his mom using salt and light. Then he would have used salt and light. What did Jesus mean when he said that you should be salt and light? What do you think he meant? I think first he meant that you are to be radically different from the world. He says that without salt and light, he says, if the salt loses its savor, what good is it? You're not called to be salt that's lost its savor. You're called to be savory salt that makes a difference, because salt makes a difference. You're called to be light. Just think what it's like walking around in the dark here in Canmore when it's really dark. What if all the lights went out one night and you were walking out there? It's hard to walk in the dark. So much easier than when we have light to help us. Think about Christians are called to be light and salt. And he says the world, like without salt, in the ancient Middle Eastern world, meat wasn't something you would want to have too often because it would go bad pretty quick. But if you rubbed it with salt, or if you put it in salt water, you could preserve the meat. You could make sure that it was good, that it wasn't going rotten on you. And he's sort of saying, I think the world is like some meat that needs some salt really bad. Our social conditions that are present in the world today need some healing, need something to make them not be rotten. And you're called to be the salt that does that. So he's saying that you need to be radically different than what the world is like. You need to be revolutionary, because the world doesn't want to go around treating the poor with respect and dignity. The world doesn't want to help all the poor people. They just want them to make their Nike runners at a really low price. The world isn't kind and gentle to the people around. It's the survival of the fittest. And if you're not fit enough, too bad for you. But God's saying, no, that's not the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to be like salt that cares, that has compassion, that has love, just like God has love for you. You're called to be a holy people, radically different from the people around you. And this is one of the major themes of the Bible. God calls his people out to be different. God says to you, be holy. Why? Well, because then you'll be a nice person. No, be holy because I am holy. That's what he says to you in Scripture. God is calling you to be holy. God gave you the Ten Commandments, said, live by these Ten Commandments. And then we kind of blew that, didn't we? We sort of made them into the 10,000 commandments, and we were afraid of the commandments that they might cause us hardship. But he says, I want you to be a distinct people. I want you to be different from the people around you, so follow the commandments I have. So then he gave us the Beatitudes as a way to follow what God is calling us to be like. But we don't even think we understand them. But he calls us to be radically different than the people around us. The reading today from Isaiah makes it clear that through the prophet he says, you're not keeping my commandments to love and to be righteous. You learn to truly, radically follow God's rules. And then what does he say? Your light will shine forth like the dawn. And that's what you're called to be too, isn't it? Light. So Jesus says that you're called to be holy, to be radically different in the way that you live your life, the way that you think, the way that you treat others. And you're called to be light in the darkness. But what does it mean? It doesn't mean that we're separated from the world. It means, like, if you have salt and you're going to cook that beautiful roast that you want to cook this afternoon for Sunday dinner, and you have the salt there on the side on the counter, if you never put it onto the meat, is it going to make a difference? No. You need to be like salt that's actually active, actually doing something, actually making a difference, bringing savor to life, changing. Salt also tenderizes too, doesn't it? I've been reading up on cooking your Sunday roast. So I'm supposed to put lots of salt on it about 3 hours before I cook it. And that helps tenderize it as well as flavor it. It makes it more beautiful. And you're to make the world more beautiful, more delicious to be in, a more wonderful place. So, and light needs to be active too, right? And Jesus talks about that. He says, you know, who hides their light under a bucket? No, you don't hide your light. You put it out so it shines everywhere. That's what you're supposed to be like, letting your light shine everywhere. Don't hide it. I'm afraid to tell anybody I'm a Christian because X, Y, and Z. But we're called to be proud of having the love and light of Christ at work in our hearts and our minds, and having Christ transforming us and changing us. We have a message of light, of hope, of forgiveness from a Savior who is the light of the world. We know all of these, but there's one more aspect about salt too, isn't there? Salt makes you thirsty. Have you been salt in somebody else's life that they might be thirsty for God? Have you spoken to them about this great God who says he'll well up within you like living water? You can help make people thirsty for that. But how do we do any of these things? Are you actively bringing God wherever you go? If you work, are you taking God with you to work and making a difference in work? God would like to go with you actually to work, to be with you there, to make a difference. Well, or what about when you go grocery shopping? Or when you go for your bike ride or skiing or go on a hike later this summer? Jesus said people don't light a lamp and then cover it over, and the same with you. Take God with you wherever you go. My grandmother-in-law used to have a sign on the by the kitchen table: Christ is the unseen guest at this table. He joins us at every meal. Take God with you. Be like Brother Lawrence, who said, you know, everywhere I go, I take God with me, and I talk to him all the time while I'm there. Try that. We can't create a perfect society by doing all of this. That'll happen when Jesus comes again. That's not our job, but our job is to transform society, maybe one life at a time, sometimes in a bigger way, but to transform what's going on around us. The people might actually experience the love of God through you. We're to be salt that brings healing and stops the decay of society. Charles Dickens was a Christian. In fact, he wrote his own version of the New Testament. He did the translation from Greek into English. Dickens became light and salt in Victorian England, didn't he? From the stories that he wrote, from the things that he exposed, brought into the light about how the poor were treated. We can be like that too, to bring God's light wherever we go. And Christians are helping to do that in countries all over the world. And change is coming. You know, in the last 50 years, there's been more change than there has been in the last 2,000 years. But into that change, we need to allow God's love and light and justice and mercy to be a part of that as well, to flavor that. How do you bring this change about? It's okay to just come and sit and think, oh, well, that's good. Yeah, we should be like that. What do you do? I think whenever I'm asked to say, what do? I always start with this. Please don't just write this off as the thing that the vicar says as the first thing to do, but it's to pray. And we need to get together and pray that we might be salt and light, that St. Michael's might be known as a place of salt and light. We need to pray for God's light to enlighten our own minds, to see ways that we might bring about positive change. So please hear me. All this change needs to begin with prayer. We need to deliberately seek God and listen to his guidance, to pray for justice, for mercy, to pray into those troubled places in the world where they're a long way away, and we think, well, what difference will that make? But your prayers do make a difference, to invite God to bring healing and hope. And the next thing I think that we really desperately need to invest in is being more evangelistic. You know, if you've been a Christian for a long time, sometimes it gets old. But when you're with somebody who's a new Christian and you see the enthusiasm that they have for Christ and the desire that they have that they might learn how to live in this new way, it's infectious and it helps us to get excited about this incredible message. You know, there's a book on my bookshelf that's called Five Books That Changed the World. And what is that? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. And they did. They changed the world. They got people all excited about it, about God, about God's purpose for them, about God at work in their lives. And we need to allow the excitement of God into our little old Anglican church, into our lives, into our hearts and our minds, so that when we go to say the Gloria, like you're really there praising God for how amazing he is. You know, your love is growing for him all the time. Sometimes our church, I think, is in the middle, just like Alberta is worried about having enough energy and exporting enough energy. We need to be a bit like that too, that we need to have enough energy, but not to just keep it for ourselves, to export this energy as well. And then I guess the third element that I think that we need for salt and light, I would say, focuses on a home group where we might, yes, study the Bible, but also talk with one another about how we might be salt and light from our own little group working together, or different ways that we can hold one another to be accountable, to actually make a difference in the world that we're at. You know, lots of people in this church have been to Curcio, and that's one of the things from Curcio that's important, that idea of accountability and saying, I'm not gonna let this just sort of slide. I'm gonna allow myself to be challenged about how I live out my life and live my faith for Christ. And we need to, all of us, to be salt and light. We need to do those three things. I'm gonna be quiet for a minute now, as I am wont to do, and just allow you to think about how you might be salt and light as individuals and as a church. Dear God, I pray that you will stir up our hearts and our minds, that we might live in a radical way, that we might allow your light to guide us, that we might be light wherever we go, reflecting your light into the world, that we might bring savor and meaning to other people's lives, that we might share the joy that we knew when we first turned to you, when we first found your amazing love. Empower us that we might live for you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.